If you just do these four habits, you'll get 80% of the gains from self-improvement. The first habit and the most important one is lifting weights to build a 10 out of 10 aesthetic body. So when I was like 15, 16 years old, I had like that skinny fat physique where I still had like a protruding stomach and kind of like those wide birthing hips and a bit of like a pokey titty. But I didn't have like, you know, muscular forearms or anything. I didn't have like that lean six pack. And I think most guys are kind of built like this, where you don't have that lean six pack. You're not really fat as well, but you're somewhere in the middle. And you know, you wear like size small t-shirts and you certainly don't look like a model or a Hollywood celebrity. And so back in those days, I struggled with confidence and body image, just like a lot of young guys, and with dating. And it was only when my brother got into the gym and he started to lift weights, he bought like a bunch of the equipment, like a bench and the dumbbells and the barbell. He started training in our house, like in the garage, like every day. And he was like, you know, super happy about it, more confident. And he put on muscle pretty quickly. And so I got inspired. He got me to start. So within like the first few weeks, I started getting into like this gym culture of realizing what was possible. And so I was watching videos online of guys who had like a 10 out of 10 muscular physique. And I just knew for a fact that if I built a physique like that, I would be way more confident, I'd have higher self-esteem, and more girls would be into me. So I was watching these videos of like these handsome guys who had like, you know, that beautiful 10 out of 10 aesthetic physique, and then they're going on dates with girls and girls are like catcalling them and everything, and that's the vibe that I wanted. So I started weightlifting, I started eating more protein, tracking my calories, bulking, and then cutting. And it changed my life forever. Like, this is what my physique looks like right now. I'll show you a few pictures. To put this into perspective for you, like how much it changed my life, I think one of the best ways to explain it is how many matches a day I was getting on dating apps. So I don't really use dating apps these days. In fact, a lot of guys use my pictures for their own dating apps. You know, they're like catfishing. Like every week I get a message from a girl on Instagram where she'll send me screenshots and be like, oh, just to let you know, like some guy's catfishing you on Tinder. And the name is like Josh or some shit. And I don't know why the fuck guys do that. I guess they just want fucking nudes or some shit. And to put this into perspective, the pictures that I used when I was like 17 years old going on Tinder for the first time, I had like average results like every other guy. Maybe I'd get a match like every 1 to 3 days or something like that. I think that's about average for most guys. Do you know how many I get now with my main pictures? With like these pictures, I'll get my editor to show you some of the sexy ones I take. About 100 to 200 a day. Like, I actually get more matches on Tinder than male models and celebrities and basically any other guy I've ever heard of in my life, including when I've watched videos of guys talking about it, because of these pictures. Not because I'm like facially like a supermodel or anything, just because one, I have a sexy physique that appeals to the female gaze, and two, I also know how to take good shirtless pictures. So lifting weights and building this physique is absolutely part of the 20% of self-improvement habits that will get you 80% of the gains. And in fact, if you just do one thing as a young man, I would say make it this. Just being fit and going to the gym and, you know, doing cardio or doing a sport is nice, but specifically lifting weights to build an aesthetic body is where you take it to the next level. Some days I'll walk around or I'll just think to myself like, holy fuck, my life because of this physique is so different. Like, I would not have the same like big dick energy that I have that makes me so fucking attractive to girls. Like, you wouldn't even believe the level that I've got to where every single day, probably around 2 to 3 girls approach me first. Like, I'll still approach, sure. But girls approach me first, girls message me first. I don't even need to use dating apps because I literally don't have enough time. And one of my biggest problems in dating is usually I'll have like 2 girls who want to see me on the same day. Like, yep, this is boasting and people will say it's a lie or whatever. And I don't blame you if you think this is lying, because it just shows that you're at a low level where this is unbelievable. But there's really guys out here who their problem is like too many women are interested in them. And that's fucking awesome. Like, that's a really good problem to have as a guy when basically every other guy in the world is like struggling with dating. Your problem can be that you have too many girls into you when you build a physique like this. But then there's a problem, and you probably know what I'm about to say. There's a lot of guys who go to the gym for a while, they put on a pretty good amount of muscle mass, but then they say something which is really gay, and they say like, oh yeah, I thought building this physique would get me girls, but really all that happened was like guys started to approach me and give me compliments instead. I didn't get any more girls from this. Could you imagine what they did wrong? They built a physique that appeals to the male gaze. They used all the workout routines and all those like the shitty advice online where they're doing like heavy compound lifts and they're just focusing on the key lifts, the squat, the bench, and the deadlift. And now they've got such like a weirdly like unaesthetic physique where they're still kind of muscular and lean, but they don't appeal to the female gaze where they actually look like a sex god. And so that's why I made my own aesthetic body program. And I used to sell it for $500. And it was still a fucking steal, because if you build this physique for $500, that's fucking awesome. But since then, I've put that program inside of the one thing I sell on this channel, which is the Library of Adonis, which is 15 times cheaper than what I used to sell it for. And you get everything else, top link in the description if you want all the workout routines and the physique that will actually attract the female gaze. To take this one step further, what's the 20% of the whole area of lifting weights that will make you most of the gains? So we've already established lifting weights, building the 10 out of 10 physique, is one of the parts of the 20% that will get you 80% of the gains in self-improvement. What is the 20% of lifting weights? It's just progressive overload. That basically means you go to the gym and you train hard enough for you to make gains. Because most people, when they go to the gym, they train like pussies. They don't train hard enough to keep creating like this like metabolic adaptation, all this science bullshit, to basically say most people just don't train hard enough. Training for muscle mass is so fucking painful that I see, like, I swear to God, most guys in the gym make about 1 to 2 years of gains because it's really easy to make muscle when you first start. And then they basically plateau and don't make any more gains from that. And I think you can probably relate to this. You probably started the gym about 1 to 2 years ago whenever you first discovered my videos and maybe Andrew Tate or something. And since then, it's like you made very fast progress to begin with, but then you've just kind of stalled at this kind of like slightly above average level where sometimes with a pump, with the right angle, you look pretty good. But most of the times, especially like if there's a candid photo of you, you still look kind of shit. Most people will just stay there for the rest of their life. That's because it's pretty easy to make muscle when you first start. But to keep making muscle once you're a year, 2 years down the line, you have to train so hard. And it's so strenuous and so painful that honestly, like, most people just don't have it in them. This is probably the one key secret to you. You are doing your set and then stopping literally 3 or 4 reps in reserve. You're stopping about 30 to 45 seconds before you needed to in each set, just because you've got like a bit of a pump and you feel like, yeah, you know, that's like, that was a pretty decent set. To make muscle, you've got to go close to failure, like 1 rep in reserve. So basically, if you absolutely could only hit 10 reps on a certain exercise before your arm would stop and you couldn't move it, you go to about 9 reps minimum. But I do something slightly different. I'm going to give you a piece of advice, which is how I make more gains than most guys, especially now when I've learned this, is I just train to failure like each time. Training to failure is when you'll do the set up until you literally cannot finish a rep. That's hitting failure. You cannot finish the rep. I take most of my sets to that point. Instead of taking most of my sets to close to failure and it's 1 RIR or 2 RIR or some bullshit like that, you know, you're trying to be a nerd trying to calculate shit. I can't, like, I know this myself. I can't accurately guess what my actual point of failure will be. I can't guess. And I'm 10 years into this journey. So I train most sets to failure, and the sets that I don't train to failure, it's just because I was being a bit of a pussy and I just didn't have it in me to keep fucking pushing because it got pretty painful. I'm telling you, that's like the better way to make gains. That's the 20%. When you go to the gym, just train really fucking hard to the point that your face is all sweaty and you're like, you know, you're pulling this face because you're getting the last few reps out. I think that will secure more gains than you trying to like train like a bit of a, like a, you know, like a complacent little middle-aged guy who doesn't want to push too far. Along with that, some of the basic advice that you've always heard: eat enough protein, 1 gram per pound of body weight, sleep well, whatever. But as long as you just go to the gym and train, you'll make a pretty decent amount of muscle. The second habit that I would say that is part of the 80-20 rule for self-improvement is meditation. But most people don't meditate right, or you know that you've tried before and it just feels kind of awkward. It doesn't really work for you. And so you're thinking, okay, it doesn't work for me. I can't silence my mind, so I'm not really going to get consistent in this. And people only think that because they don't understand how to actually meditate. So let me teach you once and for all, and you'll realize that you were actually meditating right all of that time that you tried it previously. So most people's misconception is that they'll try and meditate, and then they'll get distracted. You know, they'll think of something else. They'll think of high school or the diet or whatever, and then they'll conclude, okay, well, I can't meditate because I can't stay focused. What you don't realize is in meditation, you're supposed to lose your focus. Like, that's literally the point of meditation, is to basically just focus on something like your breath. Like, try this with me. Just focus on your breath. Within a few seconds, your mind will lose focus and you'll think about some bullshit. That's the point. The point of meditation is that we were focused on something, we lost the focus, and then we simply just focus on that thing again. Like, that's the three-step process. We focus on the breath, we find ourselves thinking about something, and we're like, oh yeah, shit, I was supposed to meditate. And then we focus back on the breath. Meditation is not about not having thoughts in your mind. It's about having thoughts in your mind, but then just going back to the thing that you said you'd be focused on. Like, that's literally attention span training. Like, when you think about it, how would you be a good student? Imagine you're watching like a podcast, or you're watching this video. And let's say you're watching this video and you get distracted from it. There's a noise or a random thought in your brain. That's gonna happen. Like, that's, you know, it's just, that's life. That's gonna happen. But what would a good student do? He'd bring his attention back to watching, without beating himself up over it. When we meditate, we focus on the breath, or on something that's happening in the present moment, but the breath is just the most practical. We focus on the breath, we'll realize we're not focused anymore, and then we just focus back on the breath. And every time you bring the focus back to the breath, it's like you've just done one rep for the meditation skill, like the meditation muscle. Why should you even meditate? Because look, it's not really a fun thing. I do like a big morning routine every single morning, and meditation's like the least fun part of it. It's the part that I don't really look forward to. Why should you meditate if it's not enjoyable? Because the ROI, like the result, the reward of it is just so damn high. You know how we're realizing the problems of like the attention span destruction of TikTok and the endless scroll and everything? Meditation is the opposite of that. So we're realizing one of the biggest problems for people these days is screen time, and their attention span's all fried because of short form content. Meditation reverses that damage. So it's needed now more than ever. And there's beautiful things about it. Like, I could tell you some of the science stuff, right? It improves cognitive function or whatever. But I'll tell you practically what it feels like when you've been meditating consistently. If you find yourself on one of those bad apps like Instagram or TikTok, it's like your brain will be louder saying, no, come on, just scroll, like, you know, swipe up and close the app. You know how like sometimes you're scrolling and you know you're scrolling and you know that it's a bad thing, but you don't really listen to that, like the angel on your shoulder, and you're like, oh, you know, whatever, and you just keep scrolling for another 10, 20 minutes, 3 hours or whatever. Meditation makes that angel on your shoulder louder, and it makes it easier for you to listen to it. Sometimes you'll be, let's say you're in the kitchen, and you leave something where you're not supposed to leave it. Like, you've used the spoon, and for some reason, you just mindlessly sometimes you put the spoon like outside of the sink when you should put it inside of the sink. Meditation will make it like louder in your brain for you to put the spoon where it should be. It will literally say like, oh yeah, I should do that. And a lot of the times we kind of like just silence that good voice in our mind because it requires, you know, like a bit of extra effort, choosing the right food to eat, which aligns to our diet or whatever, or responding to our family or friends or girlfriend in a way that isn't going to ruin our relationship with them. Meditation, like, it just helps you to do the right thing more often. When you start meditating consistently, you'll get exactly what I mean. It's like that angel on your shoulder just has more influence over you so that you do the right thing. Because that's what mindfulness is. Mindfulness is like your ability to really be aware and not be in that hazy kind of mindless state where you just randomly make mistakes and you drop shit. You know, when you're like writing in a book with a pen. Imagine we had a whole page that you wrote. For a lot of guys who are mindless, what you might find is they've got a lot of errors on that page that they've had to like scribble out, you know, words that they've written that they've had to scribble out. When you meditate, that happens way less. So when I was a kid, when I would write on a page, you know, like whatever, essay or something, there would be, you could look at the full page that I've written and there would be like 10, 20 different words that you could see that I had wrote something wrong and then I had kind of like scribbled it out. When you meditate, that will happen less. You'll literally make less random mindless errors where you randomly write the wrong word or you spell it wrong or something. And it's not just these small things, like, you know, you'll make the right decision when you're in the kitchen, or you'll, you know, make less mistakes when you're writing something. One of the highest ROIs of meditation is that you'll make better big decisions. So small decisions, okay, like what to eat today, okay, sweet, you'll make better small decisions. But big decisions, like what to do with your business, which career to choose. If there's two girls you're texting and you're wondering to yourself, like, which one should I really take seriously? Meditation will help you to actually make the right decision instead of one that's just based on impulse. So that's actually huge when you really think about it. That's fucking huge. I started meditating back in 2020, and I realized that meditation was basically like a requirement for happiness. Like, we can only really be happy when we're in the present moment and we're not like deep in thought. Because like, go and like figure this out for yourself. Maybe when you next get a haircut and you're not on your phone or anything, you're just kind of like sat there, you know, the barber's cutting your hair. Let's say you're not even speaking to the barber. What you might find is like, it's a bit of a dead time. It doesn't feel very useful and it's kind of boring. Like, just picture that. Imagine you're getting your hair cut. You're not on your phone and you're also not speaking to the barber or anyone else. You're just kind of sat there, right? If you imagine, what mood would you be in? You might have smiled when you came into the barber shop, but 10 minutes into your haircut, you'd probably say your mood was close to neutral. But for some reason, I think a lot of us would say, you know what? It'd be kind of like neutral, but kind of like lower. Like, for some reason, I just get kind of bored and like kind of weirdly sad and kind of like a bit low energy when I'm just sat there doing nothing. The same with like, if you get a massage, you're not using your phone, you're not speaking to them. It's just dead time. That's when you're mindless, like your brain's just randomly thinking about this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. That's the state of mindlessness. And we find ourselves being unhappy in that. There's been so much research to prove, like, we're only really happy when we're in the present moment, when we're actually present of what's happening right now. So the most you'll ever be present is usually when you're having sex, because it's a very, very, like, you know, animalistic thing. Okay, you're here. I think sparring, fighting is the same thing as well. Often when you're doing something which is like animalistic, your brain's not going to be mindlessly thinking about other shit. But for most of the stuff we do, like commuting and just, you know, sat around watching TV or whatever, our brain's just mindless, just thinking about shit, and we're not even focused on the thing that we're supposed to be focused on. And that's the source of like most human suffering. Meditation stops that. It lets you keep paying attention to the thing that you wanted to focus on. Like, imagine in the future, you've got your future wife bent over and you're clapping her cheeks from behind. Like, look, this is going to happen. And a lot of guys will know this, right? Imagine you're fucking your future wife and you lose focus and your brain starts thinking about something irrelevant. Like, that's not attractive. You're not going to perform as well and you're not going to have as much fun and as much bonding with your partner when your brain loses focus. And here's the thing, you're not a bad person for that. That's just how the brain works. We just end up kind of losing focus of, you know, whatever we're supposed to be focused on. But when you meditate more, let's say you start meditating 10 minutes every morning, when that moment happens and your brain kind of like stops thinking about, you know, your wife's cheeks in front of you, but instead thinks about random bullshit, the chores, the finances, you'll snap back to the present moment faster, which means that your experience of a certain moment, like clapping cheeks, will be more focused and present, because all of us will have little moments where our brain kind of leaves the area and then snaps back. And you'll snap back to that present moment the more you've meditated. You'll snap back slower and less the less you meditate and the more you scroll on social media. So in a weird way, meditation will let you like fuck better and enjoy it more and connect with your wife more. It'll let you connect with friends more. It'll let you be able to watch videos like this without all the random fucking thoughts that are in your mind. So that's why meditation is literally part of the top 20% of habits you can do, because it's like a meta skill. It's like a skill that will impact the rest of your life. Like, just think about that. If you meditate, you'd be able to watch videos like this and actually learn more. You'd be able to enjoy your food more. You'd be able to fuck better. You'd be able to hold better conversations and think more coherently. You'd be able to like clean yourself better in the shower and brush your teeth. Like, literally 100% of your fucking life will benefit if you were more mindful. Because we lose our focus thousands of times every day. We're brushing our teeth. We're not even thinking about our teeth. We're thinking about some bullshit. We're having a shit. We're thinking about something else. We're with our partners. We're with our family. We're thinking about something else. And every single time you lose focus, you're not bringing the best version of you to that situation. Meditation helps you bring that best version of you where you are way more present. And when you meditate enough, those moments where your brain kind of loses focus, they're so quick till you snap back again that it almost will feel like, okay, you are 100% focused inside of that scenario. A weird tip I'm going to give you with meditation is which app to use. I've used all of the apps you could think of that are like super viral. Calm, Headspace, Medito, all those, Waking Up, all those random ones that you've probably seen on the App Store. And I'm rich as well, so I've paid for the premium of all of them. You want to know which one's my favorite? And it's not the one you're going to think. I don't like a single fucking one of them. I think they're all fucking gay as fuck. Honestly, there was one app I used to recommend, and now I just think it's gay as fuck. You want to know the app that I use, which will show you I'm really about this fucking no BS dopamine detox life? I use the fucking clock app, because I'm not a fucking dopamine fiend like everyone else. I don't need a cute little app with like all this fucking bloated little random courses. Meditation for black people, LGBT meditation, get fucked. I go on here to like relax and I'm seeing like political fucking agenda. Fuck you. All of these fucking apps. Gay as fuck. All these fucking apps. They've got like a fucking celebrity doing like a Hollywood celebrity doing like a leaded meditation. I'm like, that's so fucking cringe. So literally delete these fucking apps off your phone. The clock app. You don't need this fucking habit tracker bullshit. Oh, day 7. You don't need that fucking shit. You don't need to count the shit. You don't need to see the little data. You don't need to see like, oh, let me add friends on this fucking app. You don't need that shit. You don't need like a random new course that's on there and it's bloated as fuck and the app's all slow. Use the fucking alarm clock on your phone, bro. Every single morning I set a timer on my phone for 5 minutes and I meditate like that. You don't even need, you know, the person who pipes up and says, and you know, like, just imagine the fucking white globe of light being inside. Fuck you. You don't need any of that direction. You just sit there, focus on your breath. When you realize your focus is gone, focus on your breath again. That's it. Set a fucking timer on your phone. You don't need the person talking and then distracting you from that focus to begin. When you really think about it, the absurdity of a meditation app, it's like the point was for us to focus on something and then the motherfucker's voice will pipe up, distracting you from the thing that you were trying to focus on. Preferably, you just sit there in a silent room, you focus on your breath, you keep focusing on it, you realize you weren't focused anymore, and then you focus on your breath again, and then the timer goes off after 5, 10, 20 minutes, whatever. You need to, like, honestly, a lot of guys who are in this culture, like the self-improvement thing, they are a very fucking cringe. A lot of guys are like fucking digital little nerds and they insist on having like an app for everything and a fucking Notion template for fucking everything. And it's usually those guys who have got no fucking gains. They're skinny, like weird little philosophy little dorks. This is like the Chad way to meditate, is like have a fucking timer on your phone. You don't need fucking Notion. You don't need to make a fucking tracker or some shit. Just fucking use the default app. Honestly, I've been using it for a while. This is like the most I've enjoyed meditating because it's actually really nice when there's just pure silence and some motherfucker's voice doesn't just pipe up out of nowhere distracting me. So the third habit that I'm going to talk to you about is about healing trauma. So trauma is like very emotional, painful things that we've been through in our lives. And it becomes trauma when that emotion lingers inside of us. So I've studied trauma now for a few years because it's like a really vague thing. You know, all the white women have kind of really ruined the understanding of trauma. It's like, you know, like there's so many people who talk about it. Oh, I'm traumatized. I'm this, I'm this. I'm going to explain to you what trauma is and how to heal it in like a masculine, no bullshit way, right? Trauma is when we've been through shit, but the emotion that we went through in that moment is literally stuck inside of us. So we can go through shit which is painful. Like, for example, you could be walking in the street and then you fall over and hurt your knee. But we would not say that was trauma unless if there was a weird psychological defense which meant that you did not process that pain and that pain, that emotion, stayed inside of you. Usually this will happen when you're a child. You're a child, your dad beats you, your mom is aggressive towards you, they're threatening you. You have all this buildup of emotion, and then if you ever show it to people, which is what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to express emotion, they will beat you more, your dad will hit you more for crying, your mom will argue with you more if you get angry. They're literally saying, no, bottle up that emotion inside. Emotions are stored inside of the body, almost like physical residue. Like imagine if we took our skin off and you could see all the muscles on our body. Imagine emotions are like sand, like physical residue that's stuck on a certain area of your life. And when it's stuck there, it will fuck you up in invisible ways. Like, for example, you'll wake up more when you're trying to sleep. You'll act weird in a relationship. Sometimes you'll be like really clingy with the girl that you like. And it's other times you'll get into this like tantrum behavior where you won't reply to her because you'll be annoyed and you'll get really anxious if she's cheating. Like, you know, these random ways that these traumas can come out as like an adult, like weird behaviors. Like a lot of the behaviors we do basically comes from trauma. We need to release that physical residue, that emotion that's stuck inside of us. Trauma is never, it's not fucking released through therapy or anything gay like that, at least for men. I don't know about for women, but you don't get fucking therapy as a guy. It's so gay. You know, this modern day, like, oh yeah, I just think everyone should get therapy. Fuck you. That's so fucking gay and immature. Like, being sat there talking about your problems, that doesn't fucking help men. Bro, you don't realize, back in 2021, I started doing this work for serious, right? Like self-improvement. And I started doing coaching calls where basically guys would pay me to hop on a Zoom call with them. This was early days, so I used to be like cheap as fuck. Like I'm talking like £3 an hour, which is like half the minimum wage from UK, where I was from. But what guys would come on calls with me, you know, to explain their problems, and I would like just coach them through what they should do. And the amount of guys who said, oh, I've had therapy for 6 months or 12 months, or I've been in counseling, and this one call with you was more valuable than all of that. It used to piss me off because of how conventional like therapy is, of like, yep, it's such a mature thing to do, and like, you know, guys who get therapy look so mature. No, like, only fucking blue-haired little feminist girls think that that's like a green flag in a guy's that he gets therapy or some shit. You don't want to date those fucking disgusting women anyway. Therapy is not fucking cool. It's literally fucking cringe and it's gay. You don't get therapy as a fucking guy. You don't just sit there, talk about your problems, and this fucking pussy just kind of listens to you and doesn't do anything. You fucking come to these videos, or you go on a call with me, and you tell me your problems, and then I'll tell you exactly what to fucking do, which action steps to take to solve the problem. Therapists aren't allowed to tell you what to do. They're not allowed to actually advise you to like do something different. They sit there like little fucking pussies just listening to you, like, you know, like the soft caress of a mother, like, no, it's okay, you're beautiful, you're worthy. Motherfucker, guess what? You're not fucking worthy. You're a fucking loser. That's why you watch these videos. That's why you're struggling in life. That's why no fucking girls want to fuck you. Because you're a fucking loser. And here's the thing. My fucking content helps people more than all the therapists in the world put together. Because men don't need to hear another fucking gay little faggot advice of, yeah, it's okay, love yourself. Fuck you. Of course you don't fucking love yourself. You self-harmed for like fucking 5 years watching porn every day, playing fucking video games instead of leveling up in real life. Of course you don't fucking love yourself. I'd hate you if I hate you even anyway. I'd fucking hate you if I was you. Of course, we have like a hatred for ourselves because we fucking punished ourselves when we were younger. You don't need self-love. You need like fucking aggression to take action and to change your life. Therapists won't tell you this shit because, like, just think about this, right? Think about how malicious the business practice of a therapist is. If you get better, they don't get paid. If you solve the problem, you will stop working with the therapist. That's why therapists will sit there like, oh yeah, like that's what fucking guys will talk to me like, oh yeah, I've been getting therapy for 6 months. I'm like, motherfucker, you've been stuck on the same problem for 6 months. Holy shit. Like, does that not prove to you you've made fucking, like, you've done nothing? You're still fat. You're still acting like a fucking little retard after 6 months. It's not been fucking helpful. You don't need therapy to cure fucking trauma. It does fucking nothing for that. You need the one habit, the 20% habit that literally gets rid of trauma. I swear to God, this is so interesting. There's a habit that you can do for a few minutes a day for free. You don't even have to buy anything from me, even though top link in the description, like, please. You don't have to buy shit from me. In fact, my program doesn't even have anything about this. My program just helps you to be more attractive, basically, and like meet self-improvement guys and everything. The one habit is literally shaking. Like this, watch. I know it looks fucking weird what I've just done. I swear to God, that habit will literally help you infinitely more than any therapy available. Shaking. Like, imagine this. You could try this right now if you're in your bedroom. Stand up and literally just shake like I've done then, but with a bounce of your leg as well. Like, imagine you're shaking off water that's on you. Kind of like a dog, right? Imagine you've got water all on you and you're shaking it off like this. This will literally release the physical trauma, like the physical emotions, that residue that I was giving you the analogy for. There's like this invisible residue that's stuck onto your muscles from the pain that we did not process when we were children. And if you do this for like 2 minutes every morning, 2 minutes before nighttime, you will literally, I promise, you will physically feel the difference right away. This isn't one of those bullshit, you may notice the difference from therapy if you're a fucking pussy, and after 6 months, maybe there'll be a difference. No, like you will literally sleep better tonight if you do this for 2 minutes before bedtime. I've felt the difference. You will be happier. Literally, if you do this, stand up and do this for 60 seconds. It feels a bit goofy. You will be relaxed afterwards. If you've got one of those like tracking devices, Aura Ring, Whoop, whatever, go and see the data after you do this a few minutes before nighttime, and your sleep will be like 10% better after 2 minutes of doing this before you go to bed. It's literally like fucking sleeping drugs. It's fucking insane. What this does is this is how you're supposed to regulate like your nervous system. You're supposed to shake. I know it sounds weird. Do this, right? In fact, I'll get my editor to show you a clip right now. Every fucking animal does this. Animals, when they get traumatized, they will literally shake and like kind of like hyperventilate for a few seconds. I'll show it, like hopefully my editor can find you a few clips. This is just fucking normal. This is what you're supposed to do as an adult. When you go through shit, when you've been in the jaws of a fucking lion or your father, you're supposed to like shake that stored energy away, because if you don't, it will kind of like corrupt and poison your nervous system, which is what trauma really is. So, few minutes a day for free. No fucking coach, no fucking pussy little soft soy boy low testosterone therapist asking you like, and what do you think that means? Fuck you, pussy. Go gym. You don't need this fucking bullshit, right? None of that. Bro, $50 an hour, $100 an hour. Fuck you. You don't need any of that gay shit. That's for women and not even for children, I would recommend. It's just for women, right? Women actually genuinely benefit from talking about their problems. Guys don't. We benefit from action and action alone. We don't benefit from talking. Start shaking a few minutes every morning, a few minutes every night. And if you feel like trauma is a big deal for you, like for example, if you're brown and you've had brown parents and you got fucking traumatized as a kid, or you happen to be just one of the unlucky white people who were just born in the wrong family or something, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day, find the way that just feels most weirdly kind of relaxing for you. So every morning I'll do my little morning routine and I'll stand up right here. And I'll basically just bounce up and down, almost like you're doing like skipping rope, almost like that. And I just basically quite aggressively drop my arms as if they've got water and I'm shaking it off. And with every kind of movement of my arm, I exhale as well. So imagine if I was stood up and I was bouncing my legs and my knees were bending, my toes were getting off the floor, like a little jump, little bounce. And I just go like... What I've done, I don't know if this is like a real scientific thing, but I think about the trauma moments as well. So I would picture mental movies of the times I can randomly remember that I might have stored this trauma. So I will think about like in 2018, there was like a group of racist guys who fucking chased me and tried to stab me because they tried to blame me for a fucking terrorist attack just because I was brown. So that was like scary, right? And I've had nightmares because this was on a train. I've had nightmares about being on a train like maybe 20 times since that moment. So I've definitely got some kind of trauma inside. So I will play the mental movie of my memory of that moment whilst doing this shaking thing. And I feel like that kind of helps. So for you, if there's a memory you remember of like your dad beating the shit out of you when you were like 12 years old on a particular day, play that movie in your mind, play the memory whilst you do this shaking thing and keep kind of like watching it, but with a new adult version of you thinking, nope, I'm strong and I'm safe now. I'm strong and I'm safe. Didn't even do anything to me. Never even hurt me. It's fine. I'm strong. I'm safe. And just shake it away. You can literally shake trauma off you, like these stored emotions. That's what trauma is. It's none of this psychological little silly shit that you've got to talk about. You've got to physically get rid of it. The other way that you can do, I would say this is the 20% for healing trauma, but the other thing, which I'm not consistent in because I just fucking hate it, but stretching. Trauma is mostly stored around the hips, like very much around the hips. If you do a lot of hip stretches for what's called the psoas muscle, P-S-O-A-S muscle, that's specifically where the trauma is stored. So stretching, massages all around this area here, like the front of your hip, That will help as well. You can literally go in here. Chances are you've probably already known David Goggins, right? If you've read his book, Can't Hurt Me, he had a very, very traumatic upbringing with his father and then racism and everything. And at the end of his first book, he literally mentions this exact like way to get rid of trauma, where he would do 2 hours of the hip stretches per day. And you can probably even, I'll get my editor, just we'll show you a clip of like David Goggins psoas stretching, where it's just like a hip stretch that you can do. And he's like a bit of an extreme guy, so he was doing it for like 2 hours a day. Trauma is physical. It is like, imagine it's like sand over certain muscles, and you just have to shake that sand off or just kind of stretch and release that muscle. It's none of this vague bullshit. It's none of this like white girl crystals and whatever weird shit that white girls love to talk about. Like, everyone should have a therapist. Fuck you. That phrase that people use is so gay, honestly. I think everyone should get therapy. It's so gay. No, I don't think so, bro. I think a lot of women need therapy. Oh yeah, sure, I agree with that. But like, no, just, it's gay as fuck. Don't be a guy in therapy, bro. There's nothing more blue pill than that. Fucking trauma therapy, fucking relationship coaching or some shit. Get marriage therapy. Get fucked, bro. Gay as fuck. The final habit that I would say is part of the 80-20 of self-improvement is dopamine detoxing. That's where you will figure out where you're getting the highest sources of dopamine from, like this sort of overstimulation, and you'll remove it from your life. And we can go one step further, which is, okay, just ask yourself, what is the 20% of the dopamine sources that are overstimulating you 80% of the time? So imagine we all have like 10, 20, 30 different sources of dopamine, like music and the food we eat and the apps we use on our phone and the people we speak to and the activities we get into. There's video games, there's alcohol, there's this and this and this and this and this. What's just one or two of the worst ones? For most of us, it would probably be screen related. I'd say that's one. So for you, what's the worst screen? Think about it. Which device is the most like degenerate for you? Do you spend hours playing video games on the computer? Do you scroll for hours, or you know, you're very stimulated with like social media apps, scrolling, messaging people, group chats and Snapchat and whatever? Is it that? Think of the device that's the worst one for you, and then practically find a way to basically just fucking get rid of it. Because I know what you'll be thinking is, I could not get rid of my phone and, you know, the Snapchat group chat. There's some value to having that in my life. And to that, I would say, yeah, you're right. There's always some kind of value to the thing that we keep in our life. Like, let's say Instagram, right? There's always some kind of value in having Instagram as like an entrepreneur. The word you've got to use is trade-off. It's not that I'm saying that there's zero value in having like, you know, some app on your phone or your phone's hyper-stimulating social media or something. It's not like I'm saying there's zero value in playing video games. The real question you've got to ask yourself is it worth the trade-off? And most of the time, no, it's absolutely not worth it. That's the question. We're not arguing if there's any benefit to playing video games, because there is, bro. It's fun and it can be social. We're not arguing if there's any benefit to having Instagram on your phone, because there is. It's fun and it can be social. We're asking, is it worth the trade-off of like hours of your life every day, every week? And the answer is very clearly no. So this is like an action step for you. Think of the one device that's more overstimulating for you, like the one that's worse for you, and find a way practically to reduce your time on it, to like wage war against that device. Like all your effort should be put on the 20% device that's worse for you. So if it's your phone, your tablet, your computer, your console or whatever, the easy way to stop that device from harming you as much is just to add some friction to it. So for example, one of the best pieces of advice is so easy, bro. Grab your phone charger and put it in a different room. And at nighttime, just put your fucking phone in that room with the charger. Don't even keep it in your bedroom. One, it'll be healthier because there's no fucking weird EMF fucking radiation from the phone frying your brain cells or whatever. But two, I guarantee your screen time will go down by like an hour a day because you're not using it in the first thing in the morning or the last thing at nighttime. Don't be a fucking pussy and make little excuses. Oh, but I can't have it in a different room because I need an alarm. Motherfucker, go buy a fucking alarm on Amazon or something, bro. Go figure it out. It's not that hard. if it's like your computer and every day after school you play like a ton of video games or something, fucking unplug it, move it, move it to like the family room or something. If you're spending hours of your valuable time like in one of these bad habits, it's very much worth like this huge step of friction to remove it from your life. So that's just the screens. Then I would ask you, outside of your screens, what is the one thing you do which you would say is probably about 80% of the overstimulation dopamine of your life? For some people, it might be drugs, it might be drinking. For other people, it might be food, it might be fast food. For other people, it might be more like sugary snacks. For other people, it might be like hanging out with some loser friends or something. Or, you know, just figure it out. Which one for you would you say is the most bad dopamine in your life? And probably wage war against that one as well. What I would say is don't focus so much on those little things that you do that are kind of dopamine, but like it's not a big deal. Like every time I speak about dopamine detoxing, someone always asks me the question, which is like, oh, but what about music? Is it okay? And I'm like, is it a problem for you? Bro, when I was on my dopamine detox, I never thought about music because it's not that big of a deal for me. I'll listen to music when I'm going to the gym, when I'm in the gym, and then that's basically it. And when I'm fucking as well, that's it. Like the two times of the day when I'm listening to music, that's it. When I'm driving, when I'm in the gym, and when I'm fucking. That's the only times I listen to music, so music is not a problem for me. If you're one of these weird Gen X weird motherfuckers who listens to music the moment you wake up, all through the day, really loud, hyper-stimulating music or something, then it might be a problem for you. If you listen to music through everything that you do, it might be a problem. I like sitting in silence sometimes. So it's not a problem for me. You need to figure out what's the worst dopamine of your life and then find out some practical way to really get rid of it. And it's just, trust me, it's like, I know you're going to say like, oh, but I don't really want to, you know, that thing's nice and there's a benefit to having Instagram on my phone, but it's the trade-off. It's the hours of just stimulation that comes from these things. And if you didn't realize it, when you fuck up your dopamine receptors, you literally are just less motivated in the day. Like, just think about that. That's fucking huge, right? Like, if you fix your dopamine, you'll have more motivation for hard work. Don't be a fucking NPC, right? Oh, motivation is a myth and discipline's that. Fuck you. I'm 100 times more fucking disciplined than you. And even I don't say that fucking cringe sentence ever. Motivation is a myth, but discipline. Fuck you. Discipline eats fuck off. It's so fucking cringe. Anyone who's not a fucking retard will say the same thing as me. Motivation's fucking awesome. Like, being motivated to work hard, to go to the gym, is fucking sweet. I don't know why there's such a little weird internet fucking trend of everyone who's, like, shitting on motivation. Like, yeah, bro. Yeah, and you don't need me to tell you the whole argument here that, yeah, sure, you should still be disciplined. But being motivated is fucking awesome. If I got to live a life where I was motivated for the hard work that I wanted to do, that's fucking sweet. You should still be disciplined. You should still show up and do the work anyway. But a better life is the one where you're motivated to do it. Dopamine is literally the scientific version of motivation. But when you fuck up your dopamine by doing like, you know, like edging and scrolling and playing video games and being on these hyper-stimulating apps with the fucking red notifications, Snapchat, Instagram, DMs, all this stuff, you're literally sapping your ability to be motivated for the hard work. Like, that's actually really huge. So it's absolutely worth it for you to take this section seriously and to think, you know what? Yeah, fuck it. That thing is my worst source of dopamine. Probably it's scrolling for a lot of people, or it's like this kind of YouTube content. You're just clicking on different videos, or it's playing video games, or it's eating junk food, whatever it is. Pick out the one or two biggest ones and just wage war against it. Get it rid of your life. Make it like invisible, where it's not like in your room or it's not in your kitchen or whatever. Another tip, if it is your phone, is to put your phone on the grayscale setting. So if you go on settings on an iPhone and you search for color filter, click on that and change it to grayscale and your phone will get black and white. Whenever I see someone with like a black and white phone, like the screen is black and white, there's no color, my respect for them instantly just goes up. Like, it's actually insane just how many videos I've made talking about this kind of stuff. And most people I speak to who say that they are my fans, I hear their phone fucking loud, like, you know, like fucking notification sound, notifications popping up on their phone. The phone's like turned, you know, the screen is off like black. And then the screen lights up with a notification. Like, I've not had a phone like a fucking child in so many years. My phone, there's no notifications. My screen, it stays black like 24/7 in the sense of like nothing turns my phone screen on other than me when I press the power button. When I press my screen or when I raise my phone, it doesn't turn on. Like, all those random little settings, they're called rise to wake, tap to wake. I disabled all of them. My phone screen literally only turns on if I press the actual power button. For most people, they've still got the default settings where when you lift up your phone, the screen goes on. When you get a notification, the screen goes on. That's fucking insane. Like, I'll check my WhatsApp messages when I want to check my WhatsApp messages. I'm not a fucking child like you, right? I'm not a fucking little retard. When I want to see my WhatsApp messages, I'll click on the app and see them. I don't need them coming to my fucking, like to my notification tab, because I'm not a fucking poor person. This is the reason why I've gotten ahead in the last 5 years, whereas most people just wasted the COVID lockdown opportunity we all had. And I want you to be like this, right? I want you and the guys who are watching this to excel in society. And it's these secret advantages, like these competitive advantages that you use, that you can use, that 1 to 2 years from now, when you've been like, you've had no notifications on your phone for 2 years, you'll be acting like an arrogant little asshole like me, like saying like, yeah, like I've had no notifications on my phone for 2 years and now I'm fucking rich. Because if to everyone else, that's going to be fucking crazy, but they're all dopamine-fried, weird, mindless, brain-rot fucking zombies. Brain fog and shit. I want you to have this level of fucking, like extremism about you. Because this is what it takes in the modern day. Yeah, this sounds extreme, but the modern day is extreme. There's like fucking millions of software developers who have made all these bullshit apps that are pulling our attention, and you've got to set up some of these practices to get rid of it so that it's not just like destroying your dopamine receptors. You have to take some of these steps, otherwise your dopamine levels are going to be so fucked up. When you do this, you're going to feel lonely. Honestly, like, it's how I felt as well. When you do this, most of these steps we talked about today, but particularly this one, the dopamine detox, you're going to feel lonely as fuck. You know why? Because there's not that many guys who are this serious about growth. Like, I speak to a lot of guys who talk about ambition and they want to make money and whatever. But, like, self-improvement's the vehicle to that. And most people just don't have what it takes to fucking get committed to this. And I hope you do. And if you do, the next problem, after you follow a lot of my advice, the next problem always becomes, you just get lonely as fuck because you can't relate to a single person in your life, your friends, your family, no one, your teachers. You won't be able to relate to anyone anymore other than basically just me because you watch me online and you're like, yeah, fuck it. This is the life you want to live. But it just fucking sucks that there's like no one like this who's extreme, whose phone is black and fucking white, who goes to the gym and eats clean and meditates and does these things. That's why this program that I mentioned to you before, I made it, because it's not just like courses that I've made where, you know, it's like educational content. But it's also the community, and there's like literally a feature on here which is that you can see the world map and you can see where our members are, and the guys who are in here are way more committed to their self-improvement journey than like random people you'll ever meet even in the gym. So that's why if you get to this point where you've made some decent progress in self-improvement and you want to get to the next level and you want to get like my really in-depth, like controversial courses where I'm literally talking about like how to fuck and how to build a physique that gets me 200 matches a day on Tinder and those kinds of things that I don't want to expose to too many people, and also get the community of guys who are serious on this journey, it's the top link in the description. There's like 800 guys in there where you can literally message them. You can see who's in your fucking city. Like, there's guys in here who use the map feature. They message the guy who's in their city and they literally organize like a workout, and now they train together like every day, and it's like they can make inside jokes together about Jeffrey Adonis and self-improvement and everything, because finally there's someone who's actually like you that you've met. Top link in the description. I really think you'd like that. Click and watch this video. Do the hard work, especially when you don't feel like it. Mwah.